Today in our Ideas Matter segment, we're talking with John Sisko, professor of philosophy and faculty fellow in the humanities and social sciences at the College of New Jersey, who's been co-directing a year-long program exploring the topic of economic justice. The program is entitled Exploring Economic Justice, New Jersey, the Nation, and the World. Dr. Sisko's project has been supported by a grant from the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, which has allowed a number of political scientists, economists, philosophers, historians, and other humanities scholars, as well as local communities, to weigh in on the topic, leading to conversations not only about our society's basic values, but also about the ways in which our norms and policies for determining the distribution of economic resources may impact and shape the long-term welfare of our society. Dr. Sisko, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my great pleasure to speak with you today.
And again, John Sisko is professor of philosophy and faculty fellow in the humanities and social sciences at the College of New Jersey. What led you into this work of exploring economic justice?
Well, maybe I could start by speaking about what economic justice is, and then go on to talk about what led us to exploring it. If I could start with social justice, I'll give you a quick overview. Social justice has as its focus issues dealing with well-being of a society, so a local, national, even global society. And relative well-being of a society can be measured in large part by its concentration of what we call social goods. These are shared goods or public goods or common goods. And they can be common in a couple of ways. So take, for example, clean air and literacy. The former is a common good insofar as if you and I reside in the same locality, then if you have clean air, I also have clean air. Now, literacy is a little different. It's a common good through aggregation. You might be literate, while I am not, even if we live in the same community. Nevertheless, your being literate might not in itself do much to contribute to the welfare of our community, and instead, it may only be when many or most of us in the community are literate that we see an uptick in well-being. Now, when we study economic justice, our focus is on the economic drivers that positively or negatively impact social welfare. So these include legislation, public policy, bias, shared practices, or norms. So let me give you two quick examples.
Sure.
First, if in our city there's an abundant supply of nutritious food, and yet owing to economic conditions, many of our fellow citizens live in parts of the city that are essentially food deserts, and thus these individuals don't have access to nutritious food, this is a problem of economic justice. Let me give you a second example. Say you're a person of means, while I live paycheck to paycheck, and each of us is arrested on the same charge, say, shoplifting. In many parts of the country, you would be much less likely than I to end up with a criminal record, solely or primarily because of this economic difference. Say we live in Clayton County, Georgia. There, a person accused of shoplifting may need to post a bond of up to $40,000 in order to be released from jail and await arraignment. Plus, if you don't post a bond, you're likely to sit in jail in Clayton County for up to 8 months awaiting indictment. So now, under these circumstances, while you post a bond and later offer a defense when indicted, and perhaps even are found innocent, it is very likely that I'm going to plead guilty so that I can get back to my job, not lose my job, and avoid sitting in jail for 8 months. So that's another problem of economic justice.
When you look at what you ultimately want to get out of this program and have people, a year-long program exploring this topic, what do you want people to get out of it, to understand?
Well, I could talk a little bit about what individuals here in the community got out of it. I think that, well, let me back up and talk a little bit about how we set up the program. So this began about a year ago when a colleague of mine and myself, Dr. Nicholas Taloudis in our Department of Political Science, we convened a small group of faculty members to discuss what sort of events we might plan around our upcoming campus theme of justice. So the College of New Jersey has an annual intellectual theme. And several individuals in that group had recently read Joseph Stiglitz's book, The Price of Inequality.
Yeah.
And in that work, Stiglitz contends that America is increasingly divided between the haves and the have-nots. So the haves thrive, sometimes in gated communities, while the have-nots, and by his argument, receive mediocre educations and rationed health care.
He was on our program on Monday discussing this very topic. Okay.
Well, that's wonderful. So then you fully understand, and your readers or your listeners are probably aware of this, that his worry is really to what extent our society, or to his mind, our two societies, will continue to split further and further apart.
Right.
So that's the worry that really we sought to address through this event series.
And that's the thing. I mean, just looking at the title of it, of New Jersey, the nation, the world, it's all connected, isn't it? I mean, if it's happening here, it is happening in throughout this country, and it's happening throughout the world.
Absolutely. And so, yes, economic issues are not merely local issues. They're global issues. They're national issues. They're state issues. And our college, the College of New Jersey, is about 4 miles from the capital city of New Jersey, Trenton. And so part of what made the series especially powerful was that we were able, through our Bonner Center for Civic and Community Engagement, to connect with about 50 off-campus stakeholders, nonprofit groups, primarily some governmental groups, focusing on reducing juvenile delinquency and promoting positive youth development. And so we planned a series reaching out to them, and it became really a community series as opposed to a campus series. So we were really proud of that outcome.
So talk a little bit about that, if you can, about the series' impact on the campus population and the local community, and what the participants ultimately learn about the fundamental values of society.
Sure. Well, I think that I'll begin by saying a few things about the events that we had, just a few of them, and then I'll talk briefly about the impact on the community. We had about 30 events, a little over 30 events, but with our proximity to New York and Philadelphia, we were really able, and of course the generous funding of the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, we were able to bring in some very accomplished speakers and authors. We, for example, Wes Moore, the author of The Other Wes Moore, Matt Taibbi, a journalist and author, Charles Blow, op-ed columnist in the New York Times, Dr. Jelani Cobb, a professor and journalist who talked about policing and race relations in Ferguson, Missouri. And there we had over 300 students and community members attending Dr. Cobb's talk. So we had a broad range of talks and some documentaries as well, which I can talk about later. But I think that for the community partners, the series exposed them to the scholarly and theoretical underpinnings of the practical work that they're already passionately pursuing. So I think it helped them to conceptualize this work within a larger and broader context. For the students, some became more involved with our community partners in Trenton, and I think that says a lot about the impact of the series, because the College of New Jersey is already a national exemplar in the area of community engagement. So the series really impelled us to further step up or ratchet up our already very strong outreach efforts. Within the classroom, we were very fortunate that a number of our professors integrated papers and books written by our invited speakers within their undergraduate courses. And that really enlivened debate both in the classroom and at the public lectures. And in some cases, the speakers really graciously sat in on our courses. So Matt Taibbi sat in on a collaborative faculty-student research seminar that was led by my colleague in philosophy, Professor Mort Winston.
So with all of that, talk a little bit about the documentaries as well, which is more of a lasting look at this, right?
Yes, indeed. So we had a good opportunity to screen a number of documentaries, both on our campus and off campus. We partnered with the Acme Screening Room up in Lamberton, New Jersey, and that's a nonprofit independent film and documentary series. And for most of the screenings, we brought in the film's director to talk about the film and engage in question and answer with the audience. So two of the directors that popped to mind immediately are Jennifer McShane, who directed Mothers of Bedford, which is a documentary about the Bedford Hills Children's Center. This is a center that unites female inmates and their children in the largest women's prison in New York State, Bedford Hills. Second, Sanjay Rawal. He directed Food Chains, which is a documentary about a Florida farm workers group that created the Fair Food Program. So if you buy your tomatoes at Trader Joe's, you're buying tomatoes within the Fair Food Program. They partnered with growers and retailers to improve working conditions for U.S. farm laborers. But I could go back to your question, which I don't think I fully answered, which was your question about fundamental values.
Yes.
Okay. So our community already cares deeply about social justice, but I think the main takeaway from the series was a heightened awareness of the relationship between economic instruments or means and social goals. So if economic drivers such as legislation, public policy, bias, negatively impact the welfare of our society, well, then these drivers simply must be changed or modified. And I think our students and our community members, what they took away from the series was first an opportunity to think deeply and seriously about these issues, but also an awareness that there's a real practical project out there, and that's the project of real-world solutions to real-world problems. So it's not merely a theoretical question. It's a real-world question. And so I think in that way, the series really had a wonderful impact both on our campus and on the larger Trenton area community.
Obviously, your work is in expanding people's knowledge of this topic and looking at how these economic resources are distributed and how this impacts us, and obviously how it helps shape the long term. So I end with this question, which is, how do you, I guess one of my favorite ways of asking this is, where does your optimism lie? Where do you feel that we have great strength here and can look at this and say, all right, we can make strides?
Well, my optimism lies primarily in a more grassroots approach. It's certainly the case that our community partners in Trenton are often being run by just passionate individuals who have decided they really want to commit a significant part of their time and lives and effort to projects like this. And this is something we saw again and again in some of the lectures and certainly the documentaries, where it was really on the work of one person that the Children's Center at Bedford Hills was developed. And it was really on the work of maybe 20 very hardworking farm laborers in Florida that have now changed policy at Walmart and Trader Joe's and a number of other retailers, where they are essentially paying twice what they used to pay per pound for tomatoes coming out of Florida, and that's for the sake of social welfare programs and providing those laborers with a living wage. So I really have, my optimism lies in the grassroots individuals who are really getting this work and moving it forward.
Well, it's all fascinating work. Links to more information about Dr. Sisko and the New Jersey Council for the Humanities program exploring the topic of economic justice are available on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You'll see the segment and you can just look at the links there. It's wamc.org/roundtable. Dr. John Sisko is professor of philosophy and faculty fellow in the humanities and social sciences at the College of New Jersey. Dr. Sisko, thank you very much for being a part of our Ideas Matter segment this morning and for your good work. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. My great pleasure.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.